sir.
Nice one.
Hello. Good morning. Good evening. Good afternoon. Wherever you're watching, this is Talk Tonight. Today we've got a guest who the first interview we released was the 23rd of October 2020, so near on 2 years ago. And since then, he's got a band, The Morning Sun. He's released lots and lots of music, and now he's back on Talk Tonight. Ashley Stacey, how are you, man?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Yeah, you got a band, The Morning Sun. How did that come about?
That come about, I got, I think it was the first company that came back, like, saying, we want to book you for a gig. It was This Feeling, right? And I was like, oh, God, I need to get a band together properly for this. Because I was like, I want to do it. And then, obviously, I've been thinking about it already, because the tunes that I was making, obviously, have got, you know, drums, bass, and more on the record. So I've been considering it and thinking about who I'd approach for it. But when they said that, I was like, right, I've got to make it happen and make it happen quickly. I had a couple of months, so I needed to get into a rehearsal room with them. And that's how it happened. And we've had like some sort of member changes, you know, as what happens with me, sort of like teething stages of a band, because, you know, various reasons. But me and the drummer Ben have been there since the start, and we've now got a wicked bass player, wicked guitarist, and everyone's sort of keen to be going full time, and it's going really well, to be honest. It's sounding good, and looking forward to you know, doing more gigs with them.
Because obviously our first interview, I can't remember if it was before or after the album, your solo album, came out. Yeah. Obviously it wasn't just acoustic guitar and you. It was very much, you know, like you said, the bass, the drums. Remember a lot of string sections in there, and it was very much, you know, a full band feel, but you more or less doing it all on your own, I believe. Whereas now you've got the other people behind you. Is it different, or is it more the same?
Well, it is different, because the album was sort of like you say, some of it I did on my own, sort of on Logic here, and sort of, you know, produced it that way. Some I did with producers, but even when working with producers, it was using sort of drum programs, you know, and sort of so you had sort of synthetic drums basically. But what with the new sort of EP, which I'm sure we'll talk about, we said, right, whatever goes on the record, we want it to be real, like recorded properly. So live drums, live bass. Obviously, you know, we it wasn't a complete live recording. We overdubbed vocals and some of the, you know, solos and guitar parts, you know, as you do when you're recording that way. But
yeah,
it's all real instrumentation. So it's a completely different approach. And I think the outcome is a lot better. You know, it's more authentic. I mean, I love what I've done, and that had to be the stepping stone to get to what we're doing now. In my experience, anyway. It's like I say, it's completely different, and it's I'm so happy with sort of you know, these new tunes.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I think like the just the feeling in the songs compared to when it was just you to now having the band behind you, so you've sort of got a bit more freedom in yourself.
Yeah,
and I feel like that comes across definitely within the vocal performance. One of our writers, Sammy, is an absolute huge fan of yours, and he just can't stop banging on about how good your singing is. But so you mentioned the EP, and just before we go into that, has being in a band, how's that impacted the growth of the band, you know, like in terms of Spotify monthly listeners? Has it made an impact?
Do you know what? To be honest with you, that's all, at the moment, it's gone down a bit. And the reason being, when I was sort of able to sort of work on tunes by myself, I had a bit of a plan of doing them. I think at one time I was putting out a single once a month, maybe once every two months max. So that was a way to build up the monthly listeners, because you sort of, when you're doing that constantly, I was finding the people that listen stay. And then you get more listeners, so it's constantly building. But then I haven't released a single now for a year. So, well, nearly a year. It was last December that we released The Morning Sun. And we went back into the studio. It took a little while to get back into the studio after that. We went back in March, I think. And at the time, I was hoping to have a track ready in a couple of months to release. And then we got in there. We went to Tile Yard Studios, London, which is such a cool complex. Noel Gallagher Studios right next door. So we've seen him go in and out a few times. Not quite managed to collar him to get him to play on one of the tracks yet, but working on it. It's just a real cool, vibrant place. And when we got in there, they was like, look, we've set up the drums in the room. That, you know, that takes a while to do with all the mics and everything. And they're like, well, there's no point setting this all up and then doing drums for one track and then moving on, because then you've got to pat down the drums, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So they was like, look, record. They was like, how many songs you got? I was like, well, I've got a lot, you know. So they was like, all right, well, let's take five, because then you sort of got five that you can work on over time, and then you've got an EP. So that day we laid down the drums for five tracks, and I think done two drum tracks for each track. So what, 10 takes? Mm. So that didn't take that long, really. Obviously, the producing can then comp them down. Mm. I think on some of them, he just kept one whole track, the better one that he preferred, and then put the bass down to him too. And then we went away from that session. It was like, right, great. We've got brilliant drums and bass. Now all we've got to do is go back a million times to do the fucking guitars, vocals, the backing vocals. So it's kind of like, at the same time, it's like, oh my God, this is, you know, you can see how it sort of becomes a money pit. You know, we know the people at Tile Yard. You know, we had a reasonable rate, but still, you just think, you know, it's more expensive than when you start doing it in house at the end of the day. Mm. And you know, we're not signed or anything like that, so it's still DIY to a degree, and it's just it's not cheap. And so that's it's taken time to do it that way. So like I say, we're nearly a year since I released something before, so in a way, it's hard to keep the listenership up. And I sort of thought, right, I'm not going to keep... I used to put loads of covers of me just doing covers like in my bedroom or whatever online, which was a good way to build it up as well. But I thought, well, I'm not going to do that because that's not the most professional thing. I still do it. I play covers gigs all the time. I still, you know, I'm learning new covers all the time. I'm playing all the time and hopefully improving all the time. But I just thought I'd just share the odd one here and there if I feel it's going really stale. But what I want to do is release, you know, professional sounding stuff from now on, so I'll just take my time and see what happens.
Yeah, that's interesting. My little brother is in a band, Two Dead Dogs, and they've just recorded and produced their first single, and he's been asking me how do I go about, you know, promoting it online. Should I be releasing one every month? Should I be taking my time? And I said, well, to be fair, it's completely up to you, because everyone's an individual. But you saying, you know, you did the covers, it's a good way to get people listening to you. That's actually one of the ideas he's had also. So it does work for some people. But yeah, like you said, just got to do you. And do you prefer being in the studio, or did you like doing it at home on Logic?
I love being in a studio. You know, when you're doing it yourself, you're sort of plugging things in and unplugging it, moving around, going over to the computer. Do you know what I mean? But when you're in a studio, you get sent into a live room. The producer, you put the headphones on. The producer tells you when he's recording, and you play. So it takes all the stress out of it. Well, in a way, I love being in a studio. The only thing that ever gets to me about doing that is it's a long process. You know, it takes as long as it takes. And if you go there and you know you record. Say you think, like I say, we've got five tracks. If you go in and like, right, we're going to do acoustic guitars today. You know, you do a few takes and then you put a few layers on it and stuff like that. By the end of your session, you're sort of thinking, well, we might only get the acoustic guitars done today. Then we've got to go away, and next time it will be electric guitars. That's the only thing that's frustrating, is the amount of time it takes. But if you want to do it properly, you know, that's the way you got to do it. I know some people will book out like a week and go there every day. But I had to do it over time because of paying for the sessions, you know. So I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, if I had endless money, I'd probably be recording every day that I could in a studio. It's good fun.
How much does it cost for you to, obviously you got the EP, how much does it cost to put all that together? Because again, speak to bands all the time. I know that a band, Richard Carlson, that have just released an album. I know that PR alone was about £1,500. So it's such an expensive industry.
it costs a fortune. You know, I won't talk about rates and that, because at the end of the day, they sort of, I guess they're privy to a degree, but we were paying by session. So I don't actually have I could sit down and work it out. But I mean, yeah, for this is without any, I probably won't pay for advertising. You know, I'll just do, see how it goes and see if I can get word of mouth and do it by gigging, because any money that I get, I'll put into recording songs or, you know, artwork or something like that. But, you know, advertising, you can pay for advertising, it doesn't work. Do you know what I mean? And I just think, what, that's nothing, you know, or they advertise it to wrong people, or people see it and don't listen. You know, I know you should. And if I was signed or there was, any sort of backing, then I'm sure anyone would say, you know, you have to do it. But for me, it's just like, I don't have the, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to see how far I can get it without that. You know, how much did the 5 tracks cost? I don't know, mate. It's run over a year. Mastering, I got the tracks professionally mastered by a guy named John Astley, and he's mastered tracks for the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney, The Who. He does a good rate for anyone that's unsigned, which is good. But again, you know, you're paying reasonable money for the tracks. So yeah, for mixing, mastering, recording, all of it, yeah, it costs money. You know, it would have cost, I don't know, well over a grand, maybe a couple. Split up over time, obviously the band chipping where they can. And you know, you don't make money from streams. So
no.
I go out and do covers gigs, which I can, you know, get a bit of money for. And I just, when I get that, I'll sort of stick that towards the pot. But yeah, it is what it is. It's a labor of love at the end of the day as well. So, you know, it keeps me on the straight and narrow at times. Do you know what I mean? That's money that would be spent on alcohol and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
It's probably,
of course, mate, of course. Do you think, like, the financial sort of part of releasing music and writing music is putting people off? Because for many people, it's a hobby, but when you're seeing how much it costs to go to a studio or to master a song, do you feel like a lot of talent might not be getting out there because of that?
Yeah, completely, mate. It's, you know, at the end of the day, the cost of living crisis and all that, it's crossed my mind that I don't know how long I'd be able to put music out for, you know, doing it properly, because I always wanted to keep progressing in terms of the output and the quality level. So now I've set a benchmark higher, so I can't step back from that, I feel.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, well, you know, with everything getting more expensive and a lot going on, I just have to see how it goes. Maybe slow down on, I don't know, just have to see how it goes. But yeah, certainly, it's something you have to consider. I think this tune, so I wrote them all myself for the EP, but you know, got the band playing on them where I can. So it's, again, it's been more of sort of me heading it up and going forward. But what we said in the future is we'll make sure that whatever songs we go and record, you know, we'll all write them together. You know, I'll come in with probably a basically fully formed idea, because that's what I do at the end of the day. But I'll just say, whatever ideas you've got, we'll try them all. We'll put all your parts in, you know, we'll get everyone on it. So it is written by all four of us, and we'll just take a new approach on it, because, you know, we can share the cost, we can share the you know, 10p that we get paid. And basically, I'm laughing because I save money, and they can see their names on the credits. But
yeah, I'm definitely.
I'll get much else than that.
Yeah. So the pre-save link for Do You Feel came out today. Yeah.
It did, yes.
Tell us all about it, man. New music.
Yeah, new music. Well, this background that I'm sat in front of here, this is the cover work. I did, it was done by Jamie Pollock of Vida. He's done a few artworks for me now. He's got Fallen the Hill is his Instagram page. You know, he does artwork as well. He did this one originally in a different colour for the Morning Sun single. And we was like, well, let's, you know, keep a bit of a theme going. Maybe for some of the singles, and then we can sort of look at getting a new artwork done for when we package up the EP, because we'll do a few singles as a bit of a tease and then drop the EP is the plan. And yeah, like you say, it's out to pre-save now. It's out on the 18th, I think. I better get this right. Friday the 18th of November, which I think I'll have a gig to announce. I can't announce it just yet, but I think I'll have a gig to announce for that Friday. So that's one to bear in mind, and it's looking like it'd be quite a good one, that one.
What sort of direction are you taking the music in now? Obviously, I feel like a lot of your past stuff was quite melancholic, maybe a bit romantic, whereas what sort of direction are you taking in it now?
That's a good question. Well, I think, you know, you've heard Do You Feel. I think it's rock and roll, you know. I think it's straight rock and roll is what it is. There's a couple of tracks on there. So, I won't say if it's the next single because I don't know yet, but there's a track on there that is easily, for me, the track that I'm most proud of. It's got the guitar sound that I've always wanted to get. It's got, like, you know, like chimey guitars, like The Cure, that sort of sound.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was playing a 60s Fender in there. I wrote this riff. I actually wrote it on acoustic guitar, but I got this riff and I was like, oh, I really like that. And the studio was like, I'll play this on this 60s Fender. God, I can't even remember what it was now. I think it was a Strat. I've got a picture of it somewhere. I think it's a Strat. And I held this thing, I played it, and I was like, oh my God, that riff just sounds fucking beautiful. So are we allowed to swear on it, by the way?
Yeah, say what you want, man.
Yeah, that's all right. I need to watch it. And it's a real sort of indie, like I say, The Cure, that sort of vibe. And I'm really, really happy with that track. I feel like that was a track I always wanted to make. Like you said, sometimes the romantic side comes in where that's got that sort of feeling in it, but an indie sort of tune. There's another moddy type tune on there, you know, like Palace Piers, have got a bit of a mod vibe.
Yeah,
there's one of them. There's a blues tune on there, like a 12 bar blues. And there's one that's a bit more romantic. It's turned out lovely, but it was written on an acoustic guitar, sort of a bit of the Lars, like in the vein of the Lars. Mm. But that's come out really nice as well, bit slower. So there's one sort of what I would say romantic one on there, and the rest is quite upbeat.
Yeah, so it's quite a lot of variation on there as well.
There is.
yeah.
Cover all bases. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's what I like about yourself, and I don't think enough musicians do it, where, you know, they find something that works, and I guess they just stick to it. Obviously. Prime example, Catfish in the Bottom, and look how that turned out. But, you know, like you said, you're trying all sorts, and, you know, if you enjoy making it, who's to tell you what to do and what not to do?
Yeah, and I think obviously me being a lead vocal is the same throughout. So you always got my voice, which gives it a constant, and also my style of songwriting and, you know, choice of lyrics and vocabulary.
Oh,
in
mate,
the song.
One sec, mate. I'm just getting a call.
Oh, okay. Shit. Yeah, no worries.
I don't matter. Carry on. I missed it. Carry on. Don't matter.
Is that going to be me?
I think that was my work. Sorry. Carry on.
He's working really hard, by the way. Yeah. It's lunchtime, honest.
Exactly.
No, like I say, the lyrics, my voice is a constant throughout. The lyrics and the way that I write and, you know, choice of vocabulary and that is a constant throughout. So, you know, and actually the instrumentation is pretty constant. Same drum kit, same setup, same bass. So, you know, whether you change the style, like of the sort of direction of the song or you know, what's influenced you, there's still enough constants that people don't go, you know, it's not like you're listening to drum and bass and then like a love song and then, you know, you can do that. And that's something I always think about, like we spoke about before, when putting an album or an EP together, is the flow of the record. Mm. Like I spent a lot of time thinking about that. And, funny enough, I spent a lot of time thinking about it, but normally my gut instinct was the right one. Like I did it on this one. I put them in order. I changed it a few times, and then I was like, no, the one that I had first time was the one. And I literally waited till I was ready to listen through, do it that way, to check it. And I you can bring in different influences and it not get, you know, out of hand. I think.
Definitely. What you've been listening to while recording, obviously, if it's been over the course of a year nearly, I presume quite a lot, but what have been the main influences behind it? What you've been listening to?
I've been listening to all sorts, really. That's a great answer to that, isn't it? But I mean, like most recently, obviously, the Monkees album come out, The Car. I love that. But our EP was finished before that, so I couldn't say it influenced it. Mm. I went to a festival in Spain this summer and saw the Lathams for the first time, and I'd listened to some of their tracks before and enjoyed them. But I saw them live, And I was like, what? I was so surprised. They sounded on their heavier tracks. They sounded very heavy, which is, you know, what you want at the end of the day from heavy tracks. His singing was impeccable. I've got bang into them. I've seen them a couple of times now. I love them. I wish I gave them more of a chance right from the offset, to be honest. Because they're blinding. I've been listening to loads. Just proper on the spot here, but I've started giving everything a chance. I didn't used to do this. Like, I'd be sort of quite closed-minded, like, oh, Inhaler, oh, Bono's Son, I'm not listening to that. Now, every time they put out a tune, I'll listen to it that day, you know? Yeah. You know, they're all right. I saw them. Blossoms, I was listening to quite a bit, but then I saw them play at the festival, and they weren't as good live as I thought they would be. I've got back into, I mentioned drum and bass earlier, I've got back into drum and bass. One of my sort of old sort of heroes in that world, like, I used to rave when I was, like, 14, sadly passed away like unexpectedly this year, and there was a tribute rave for him, and I went to that. I've been going to quite a few since. I've got back into that, which I'm really enjoying, you know, seeing old faces and finding out that I've still got the energy for these things, which is reassuring.
but anything
mate, you know, and always listen to the Beatles, always listen to the Lars, always listen to the Kinks, and I've been bashing those three bands this year big time. So that covers it, I think.
What are your thoughts on the new Monkees record? Carry on.
Their bit of Be a Miracle at this moment it's up there with my favorite songs ever. Absolutely love that track. The moment it come back, the video, I watched it with the video first time, and I was the first line, don't get emotional. Yeah. Like, honestly, by the time that he sung that line, I felt like I was nearly crying anyway. I was just like,
it's my song of the year, by far. My song of the year. It's got to be.
Yeah. I'd agree. Mm. Oh, Jamie T, someone, his new album's amazing. I've been bashing that. That bit of Being Mirable was just absolutely stunning. I think that and Body Paint, I think, what was the other one they put out? I ain't quite where I think I am. Yeah. I think in a way they put out the high points of the album before the album came out. The one thing I didn't expect it to be so straight as it was. It's very much a kick back and chill album. Listen, yeah. I absolutely love it. It's, you know, we've got all of their old albums and their old works, and we can listen to them. Don't expect to listen to the car and be driving around banging your head, you know. Sit back with a bottle of red wine, put some decent speakers on and some decent headphones, I think it's the nuts. I think fair play to them, you know. They're not trying to impress it anymore. They're just doing what they love, and I think they're doing it really well.
Definitely. I mean, I agree with what you said. Thinking our reaction, we said the same thing about how they released the best songs essentially as singles. Yeah. Because they were going to grab the most attention.
Yeah.
But true. That said,
I didn't think that's true.
When you listen through and you sort of get an understanding of, you know, the story and how it flows through. I mean, Perfect Sense, it's the last song.
Perfect Sense is the nut. It's the last song
and it's the best song. But Arctic Monkeys have got this thing, haven't they, where the first song and the last song are always unique and unbelievable.
Yeah, and, I mean, they did it again. I completely agree. Hello You's another little special mention on there as well. I think that's a beautiful tune. It's wicked. I, do you know what? I've listened to it in full probably about five or six times, and I will listen to that album in full, you know, hundreds of times. So it's still sinking in. But yeah, I love it. I think it's going to set them up there with the greats, this album, to be honest, like, because, you know, they've got Revolve and they're doing it properly. So
definitely, I actually think there's starts to be like a correlation from the first or the last track to the next one, because if you listen to I think it's the Ultra Cheese goes into Mirrorball, but first track Star Treatment, and the last track on AM is the John Cooper Clarke.
Oh, yeah. I Want to Be Yours.
I Want to Be Yours. And it's sort of like the do almost flow into each other with, like, the messages behind it. And, like you said, what a greats. Big fan. I know not everyone is, but, you know, if you're...
That's,
If you enjoy music.
Subjective.
Yeah. If you enjoy music, you'll enjoy that album. So, coming towards the end of the interview, a few things I need to ask you. I know you're a huge fan of DMAs. You got the DMA gig coming up, I believe, this weekend, is it?
Right, yeah, we're playing at the Good Mixer for like the DMania, which is the Facebook group party before the gig. And then we're all off to the Roundhouse afterwards to watch the band.
What do you think of the new singles?
Yes, I love Thursdays. First time I heard it, I really liked that. The production is, it's more modern. Let's put it that way. It's more modern. I think that Hill's End is the best thing they've done, right? But I don't, that they haven't had record label pressure to do what they're doing. They're doing it through choice. They love dance music and pop music, and they want to bring those elements into it. So again, it's, it's their choice. And the songs are still good. And what was the one before that?
I don't need to hide.
Yeah, I don't need to hide. Yeah, so it's more of a dancey tune, and I like it. I like them, and fair play to them. I think they're good. They write their own stuff. I look forward to seeing how they go down at the weekend. And I listen to it every time they put a tune. Mm. I listen to it, and I listen to it enough times that I know, it's like when you know all the words and you're singing along before you know it, sort of thing. So I'm already sort of like that with the new tracks. Hill's End is my favorite thing by them, and I love that vibe, but they're evolving, and that's what bands do, so good luck to them.
Yeah definitely. The first album, I know, like, they did a lot in the garage or in the bedrooms, didn't they, the recording that, and read an interview with Tommy, I think it was, basically saying, I wrote Delete when I was 19. Obviously, one of the best songs, but I'm never going to write like that again. I was a 19-year-old in love, fool. And now, like I said, just doing what they like. And big fan. I saw him a year ago now, probably to the day. Unbelievable. And we got to interview him, which was cool. So,
I must have seen that.
Great, lads.
The gig again?
Hull. So I'm in Hull, yeah. Nice. But it was a bit weird because we saw Kasabian without Tom, with Serge fronting the night before. And then going to DMAs the night after. The contrast of those two gigs is unbelievable. Like, the energy and how you have to behave. The two completely different gigs. But,
Kasabian's a lot more bouncing, right? I'd imagine.
Yeah. Whereas DMAs, you maybe get one or two songs. It's more of a just sit back and just enjoy the music.
It's like anthems. There's a lot of like hands in the air, like singing songs and that. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So I had one final question.
Yeah.
You can go down to the local boozer. Who are the four musicians you're taking with you for a pint?
Can I have passed?
Yeah.
They can, yeah, okay. I'm going to ask that question and now name four that are alive. I just realised. Alex Turner, just because he's mental, I'm fortunate enough to meet him a couple of times, and he was very polite. But I mean, I'd love to sort of pick his brains just because I think he's a genius, and he's a bit of a madman, I think. So I'd take him just out of curiosity.
You see, I was actually going to put Alex Turner in mind, but I listened to the interview you did with Zane Lowe, and he can't keep a conversation. No, he sounds fucked.
but listen, we can talk for England, so it don't matter, does it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'll take him. Who else? I'd take Paul McCartney. Watching that Get Back documentary earlier in the year, I was always very much a sort of John Lennon over Paul McCartney sort of Beatles fan, but just watching that documentary, I found such a new love for Paul, and obviously I'm sort of choosing him because he's alive, which is sort of against the, not what we said, but you know, just like the stories that he has, and I just think he's an absolute legend, and the talent and creativity flowed out of that man. Like his vocal range, everything that was within him, you just see it pouring out on the spot in that. You know, he wrote some amazing tunes, and yeah, he's just an absolute. He's a national treasure at the end of the day. So
definitely,
I'll take Macca's. Who else? I'll probably regret this, but I'd take Noel Gallagher. Try and tease the grump. Like, if you listen to Noel Gallagher chatting with Matt Morgan on the podcast that they do, he's funny as anything. Like, yeah, when he's definitely relaxed. And I think a lot of stuff that he says gets taken the wrong way, and taken out of context. And also, he doesn't care about what he says, which I think is quite refreshing. But then again, to some of the younger audience, and also, you know, some of the sort of more sort of woke audience, you know, get offended by it. But people say things that they don't always mean, or they mean in jest, that when you put in writing doesn't look the same.
Definitely.
And he doesn't hate Oasis. I don't think he's that out of order. You know, he's still a businessman. He's got to think about that, and he's got a team as well. So yeah, I think he gets a hard press, and he makes me laugh when I listen to podcasts and stuff. And you know, he's one of my heroes at the end of the day. So I'll take Noel. And
definitely, just have to rush you for your last one.
One that I'll probably regret. I'll take Lee Mathers from The Lars, because you know he's always massively, when you see him in interviews, he's massively intriguing. But also, we haven't really seen him out of his house much in the last sort of 10, 20 years. So, you know, if you could get him out for a pint and sort of get some sort of stories out of him, I think he sounds like he's a bit off key. But I'd love to have a pint with him and see what he's about.
Brilliant stuff. This has been Talk Tonight. Ashley, Stacey, thank you again for coming on the show. The pre-save link for Do You Feel is in the description below. And if we have your permission, we'll play a little taster right at the end.
You can. Yes, definitely. It'll be lovely the first stuff. Place that I've not put a taster out. So yeah, you got
lovely. It. Brilliant. So thanks for watching. If you enjoyed, subscribe and take care. You feel alive.